Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. On the broadcast today, freshman Assemblyman Irvin Nelson joins us, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Benjamin Griffith, Ernie Adler, and Kyle Roering. It's all coming up next with me and Paul Enos on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
What has the massive Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center contributed to Northern Nevada, and just in the past few years? Well, they're home to 130 industrial companies, manufacturing, distribution, clean energy, occupying over 12 million square feet of industrial space, and employing over 6,000 Nevadans. That's incredible. All in less than 5 years. And with over 100,000 acres to go, we're just getting started. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program freshman Assemblyman Irv Nelson. You are on the Judiciary Committee, where you are vice chair. You also serve on Commerce and Labor and Taxation. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here.
AB 277 set legal standards in cases involving freedom of religion and conscience, similar to the bills in Indiana and Arkansas. You withdrew the bill last week, and you say that you were not told to drop the bill. So why did you actually drop it?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, that became a controversial bill. The way the bill is drafted, it does not prescribe a result in any factual situation. You know, if you look at the history of the religious freedom bills, the first one was passed in 1993 by the federal government. It was proposed by Chuck Schumer, you know, passed by Democratic Congress and Senate, and signed by President Clinton. And, you know, re-enshrine certain protections of the First Amendment in federal law. And then a U.S. Supreme Court decision stated that it applied only to the federal laws and not to the states. And so a number of states began passing similar legislation. I think there are approximately 20 which have now. The bill, a similar bill, passed the Nevada Senate last session and then died in committee in the Assembly. So I resurrected it. And, you know, it provides... it's really a legal standard in those cases. It just says the state has to provide a compelling state interest.
So what were your considerations in deciding to drop the bill? Were you watching the news in Indiana? And
That was tremendous blowback.
That was a major factor, I must admit. That got me to think about it. And I consulted with some legal scholars, both in Nevada and throughout the country. And, you know, Nevada, and what I found out, which I had forgotten, the Nevada Constitution already provides for freedom of religion and freedom of conscience in Article 1, Section 4. And I was persuaded that we didn't really need AB 277 in light of that. And And then on top of that, I didn't want to do anything to hurt the state. And the blowback from Indiana and Arkansas, after consulting a few people, I thought, you know, it might really hurt our economy.
Especially the tourism-based economy.
Yeah.
I mean, the blowback where you have major corporations like MGM Grand International and Caesars, who have made huge inroads into the lesbian and gay communities, transgender, etc., in terms of tourism, I think they would have had tremendous problems.
Right. Yes, I agree with that. In fact, I spoke with some people who thought that the possible effect of the bill on gaming, tourism, our convention industry, particularly up and down the Strip, would be very dramatic. And so I decided this could do more harm than good, even though the bill was not intended to be anti-gay or pro-discriminatory, but
so
it was interpreted that way.
So what was it meant to be then, really?
Well, you know, there are a lot of cases. For example, one of the more recent ones was an Indian who, as part of his religion, used eagle feathers and was arrested and threatened with a $250,000 fine, and he was able to use his state RFRA law to practice his religion. There's another circumstance of a Muslim who wanted to wear a beard in prison as part of his religion. That's the sort of thing it was focused at, was to provide, you know, just strength and free religion in our state. But as I said, on balance, after I considered it, I thought, we probably don't need it, and it may cause more harm than good.
Now, as a freshman assemblyman, you know, you're trying to make some considerations. Is it hard to say, you know what, we don't need this bill? You know, is that a difficult decision to make, or do you feel like everything you have is kind of your baby and you want to see it over the finish line?
No, I didn't feel that way. I felt, you know, I would like to get some good legislation through, but I'm more concerned with doing what's best for the state. I'm not really keeping a tally of how many bills I get through.
Let's talk about the collective bargaining bill. That's been a big discussion this legislative session, with Republicans in control of the legislature the first time in 30 years.
Right.
It looks like we may be able to see some movement on that. And you have Assembly Bill 280. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. Assembly Bill 280 would make collective bargaining between local government entities, such as cities, counties, school districts, and their employees, optional rather than mandatory. So, you know, existing collective bargaining agreements would not be affected. But when they were about to run their course, and they usually go, you know, 2 or 3 years, the governmental entity would be able to give notice saying, we're not going to continue recognizing this bargaining unit, and we're not going to collectively bargain going forward. And if they made that decision, then the situation would be similar to what the state of Nevada has with its employees, where they're not allowed to collectively bargain.
Let me ask you this. Pat Hickey has been sending out a daily email letter to anybody who wants to sign on to this. And one of the things he's talked about in the last few days was for Republicans to beware of going too far in the opposite direction from which things have been going over the last decades, and to try to find more of a middle ground in pushing reforms but not going overboard. How do you feel about that? You know, because he thinks he's going to come back to bite the Republicans in a couple of years, whereas if something's negotiated in a fair way now, that it won't have to be revisited, or it'll be harder to revisit. What do you think about that?
I have the utmost respect for Pat. Pat helped me a lot in my election and was very supportive and friendly when I decided to run, and gave me a lot of good advice, and has advised me since I became an assemblyman. I can see his point. You know, we don't want to be too radical and push too far and do things that will just be reversed, you know, when we're not in a majority. But I also think that there are certain things we've been waiting to accomplish, and this is kind of a golden opportunity. You know, it's been, I don't know, almost 100 years since we held both houses and the governorship. And so I think there are certain bills that we can push through now that that our base is interested in, and that a number of us have wanted for a number of years.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Assemblyman Irv Nelson when we come back.
From your house to the White House, The folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The doctors at Eye Care Associates specialize in surgical and medical treatments to maximize your vision results. They can change the way you look at the world.
LipiFlow is an exciting new technology used in the treatment of chronic dry eye disease.
The procedure is quick, usually about 12 minutes, virtually painless, and performed in their surgical suite. Don't let dry eyes interfere with your life.
We perform a comprehensive evaluation to determine whether or not you will benefit from LipiFlow.
Your sight is critical. Call Eye Care Associates for an appointment.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with freshman Assemblyman Irv Nelson.
Let's talk about the hearing last week. Everybody was kind of watching, and that was on Assembly Bill 464. That was a bill presented by both Majority Leader Paul Anderson and Taxation Chair Derek Armstrong. You're on the Taxation Committee, and that was really seen as the bill that kind of challenges the governor's tax plan. What were your thoughts on that hearing compared to the hearing, the joint hearing in the Senate with SB 252?
Well, it was shorter, as you know. but, yeah, I really enjoyed both hearings. SB 252 was very enlightening. It was good to hear the governor's plan and to see so many people in support of it. And I think everyone agrees that we need to do a lot to improve education in our state for the good of the students and for economic development and, you know, to go into the future. I thought that Assemblyman Armstrong's bill provided some good counterpoint. You know, it came out with similar numbers, although my understanding...
Actually slightly higher.
Yeah, actually slightly higher. That's true. And, you know, it changed the focus on how to raise the money. You know, the governor's plan focused more on the modified business tax. And
a gross receipts tax.
The business license fee.
I got it mixed up. Yeah, Derek's is on the modified business tax, which is the payroll tax.
And by the way, he'll be here on Thursday on the program.
Oh, good. Well, then I'll let him explain his plan.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, philosophically, when you were looking at tax policy as a member of that committee, you have a tax that's based on gross revenue versus a tax that's based on an expense like payroll. Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular bias towards one or the other?
Well, that's a difficult question. When I first met with the governor's representatives and advocates, I talked about, you know, the election that we just had. And of course, they realized that the gross receipts tax was voted down. And their position is that this is different because it's scaled and it's also there are different percentages applied to the tax depending on what type of business you're in, whether you're in a business like a retail establishment which has a very low margin of profit versus other businesses that may have 30 or 40% profit. So that in some ways is different. Generally speaking, I think there are problems with what you would call a gross receipts tax if it doesn't take into account expenses. You know, you could conceivably be charged a tax even if you're not making a profit or making very little profit, and that's been the blowback.
By the way, and also, you know, if you look at things historically, Brian Sandoval doesn't have to run for re-election. And when we've seen situations in the past where the legislature has gone against the wishes of the public. In this case, it would appear the wishes of the public was not to have a grocer seats tax in the form of the teachers. The public took their revenge at the ballot box very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. A, are you in favor of increasing taxes to meet the governor's goal? And B, if you were to vote today, which of the plans that you've seen so far would you be in favor of?
I am in favor, I think, of raising taxes to some extent, because my understanding is that we've really cut to the bone for the last two or three sessions because of the recession. And I think we need to more properly fund education and some other programs. I don't think I'm willing to go over $7 billion for what they would like to do. And so a number of us are looking at the budget side also on things that we can cut.
For example?
Some of the things in education, some of the programs that have been drastically increased.
For example?
Full-day kindergarten, breakfast in the classroom. I mean, are those things that you'd be looking at?
Yeah, I think those are things to consider.
Even breakfast in the classroom?
Well, breakfast in the classroom, I think, is a good idea. Obviously, children can't learn if they're hungry. You know, that
we have such a large population, especially in Southern Nevada, of students that are homeless, and in a lot of cases, the only food they're getting is at school.
Right, and I actually think you know breakfast might want to be expanded because there you know there may be other children who need breakfast who may not be in the what they you know in the levels they've set as far as a certain percentage of the poverty line. You know, I think it may.
Hey, my son thinks that's a great idea, and I mean, he eats enough for two breakfasts.
Yeah, I think my wife might also. You know, sometimes the kids get out the door before they've eaten. There's some of the programs. You know, when I was in Las Vegas, I was fortunate enough to tour a number of the schools, and I was very impressed by the Zoom programs and the ELL programs, and some of the schools had programs to get parental involvement, which I thought were really critical. I think that to some extent, a lot of these problems, you know, we can't fix just by more money. We've got to get parents involved as much as we can.
Okay, let me circle around here because we're running out of time here rapidly. So just to go back to my previous question. So if you were to have to vote today, which of the plans would you go along with now that you've said that you believe there's a need?
I think I would like to go with a hybrid. I think that... Well, first of all, I want to see what the Economic Forum comes out with in early May and see what the numbers look like there. I like the idea of increasing the modified business tax a little bit. Maybe not as much as Assemblyman Armstrong wants. But I do understand the concerns of gaming, that we don't want to be so dependent only on one industry and only on payroll. Another thing we have to consider is broadening the tax as much as possible.
Okay, and that's where we have to leave it because we're out of time. Thank you so much. Pleasure to meet you, sir.
Thank you.
Come back.
Thank you.
Be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We've delivered for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
My family's been providing senior care in Nevada for over 40 years.
We built the Arbors because we saw a need for quality care, specifically for those with Alzheimer's or other memory impairments. The Arbors is safe, comfortable, and homey, with plenty of indoor and outdoor space. We promote independence and offer physical, social, and mental activities for all of our residents. Memory care, it's all we do, and that's why we do it so well.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your couture dry cleaner and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch to a nationalized partner in textile restoration, Bobby Pages, 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner. We're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at BobbyPages.com.
Pizza Baron has opened a new Sparks Spanish Springs location. As a way to thank you, Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $21.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Ben Griffiths is here with Capital Partners, Ernie Adler, the former state senator, and Kyle Roerink, political reporter for the Las Vegas Sun. So, Kyle, I want to start with you because you've been covering Switch's potential move from the grid. They're up with the PUC near the end of this month. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was Lance Gilman was on the program from the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, one of our proud sponsors, a few weeks ago, talking about concerns about the cost of power in Nevada versus the cost of power in Arizona and how we were losing expansions in Nevada that were going to Arizona because the power rates were higher there. Do you think that this will help out in terms of economic development if Switch is able to make the move? Do you think you're going to see other companies doing the same thing or trying to with the benefit of getting lower power rates once they've paid off, because they have to pay a fee to leave.
Absolutely.
Which covers all of
there's
the
an exit fee that does cover
a
myriad of taxes and other fees. It's definitely not small. I'm excited to see what those would be. But if you go back to the hearings from 2001 and you go through the transcripts of what was being said, Harvey Whittemore was with the Resort Association then, a lot of people with NV Energy. It's going back through those, and it said there will not be a burden on the ratepayer if this happens. So that language right there, you know, my reading that says to me, okay, maybe there won't. You know, these are really reputable people, you know, from back then, really high-end lobbyists saying that, so... but then again, you have MGM, 5% of the grid. They want to leave. You have Sands, Wind, Switch.
That's not official. Let's say the PUC, you know, and says, in, you know, if a letter of intent is delivered to them, they cannot publicly reveal that.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right about that.
Okay. But. So Ernie, let's move along with this discussion and say that according to the PUC, who I talked to yesterday, or a spokesman there, they said that if a company does get the permission to leave, that any purchase power agreements that they've entered into, any costs that the power company has put in terms of, you know, expanding power plants, et cetera, or building power plants because of that company, all of that would be put into the exit fee.
Well, I think you're going to see a huge exit fee proposed by the PUC, because I don't think they want them really to leave the system, because that's going to pass costs on to other consumers.
And eventually.
And I think the Consumer Advocates Office is going to fight that. And so I don't think it's going to be a smooth exit, as some people are saying. I think that you're going to see a very high fee, and I think you're going to see a lot of pushback by the State Consumer Advocates Office, because they're afraid that the little old lady living in a mobile home, which isn't well insulated in Las Vegas, is going to have her power bill spike, and they really don't want to see that.
Ben, do you think the PUC would be able to allow that? I mean, it seems inconceivable.
I think that they would allow it, because
them leaving. I mean that, yes, there would be a rate spike.
Yeah, I don't think they would allow a rate spike to happen, but I think that one thing that would come out of this is Nevada becoming more energy friendly. I think that they wanted to bring back those people eventually. So even though there's going to be this huge fee, I think they're going to want to say, hey, we now have an industry where we can grow and bring those people back in.
Paul, my question to you is that around the country, we are seeing this battle shaping up and being joined in some states of where the renewable energy folks are reaching caps, as they will do in Nevada, and the power company saying, hey, renewable energy is great and all that, but we have to still build the transmission lines. We still have to build the infrastructure. Your thoughts?
Sam, renewable energy is one of the reasons why Nevada's power is very expensive here. We have one of the highest portfolios of renewable energy. I'm really not surprised. I mean, we've seen the mining industry, which was one quarter of our state's power users. They've decided to build their own power plants. You know, Barrick has their own power plant in Story County. Newmont built a coal-fired power plant about a decade ago. So this really isn't a big surprise to me, and especially with the passage of Senate Bill 123 last session. You know, I'm really not surprised that we're seeing this movement.
Okay, I want to change topics. We've got about a minute left here, and I just want to go around the table. Catherine Cortez Masto is the official candidate of Senator Reid and the Democratic Senatorial Committee, but we have yet to hear from Congresswoman Dina Titus. This will be not the first time that she has been blown past in terms of who Senator Reid wants to support. Your thoughts on what Dina Titus is going to do?
I think she's going to stay in CD1. I know she loves CD1. I know it's a district
so did
that
Shelley Berkeley.
Say is made for her. So I can't imagine her leaving.
Ernie?
I agree. I think she's going to stay with CD1. I think Catherine Masters is a very strong candidate. So,
Ben?
I think that this, if she wanted to run, I think this is her time. I don't find Catherine to be the strongest choice for the Democrats right now. I think Dina's just a stronger choice than she
is. Mr. Co-host?
I think, you know, they're going to be going after the same pool of resources. You know, you look at Emily's List, which is usually a very big funder for Dina Titus. I think they're already committed to Catherine Cortez Masto. So I don't think she's a Jim Gibson, and I don't think I think Dina's going to look at that and say, you know what, I'm fine right where I am in CD1.
We shall see. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Recycled Furniture offers the area's only heat treatment of bedroom and upholstered furniture. When you are looking to buy or sell furniture, think Recycled Furniture. Recycled Furniture, Midtown Reno, where it's always new to you.
The University of Nevada School of Medicine has been making Nevada healthier for more than 45 years. Our groundbreaking research is making an impact locally, nationally, and worldwide. And we're making a difference with doctors providing medical care near you. As Nevada's statewide public medical school, we offer an educational value amongst the highest in the country. We are partnering with leading Nevada hospitals and healthcare institutions to combine teaching and learning with outstanding clinical care. Join us in improving Nevada's health. And yours.
If you're sitting on a structured settlement, don't just sell it for a small pile of cash. Sell it for a bigger pile. Just call J.G. Wentworth and say, I need cash now. They can give you more cash than anyone else. More than taking out a loan or maxing out your credit card, because there's no debt. More because you're not borrowing. It's your money. Getting more cash is faster and easier when you call J.G. Wentworth. They've helped tens of thousands get a bigger lump sum of cash. J.G. Wentworth is the number one structured settlement payment purchasing company. Instead of sitting on structured settlement payments, call now and explore getting more. You'll be sitting pretty, pretty soon. Don't just think about getting more. Pick up the phone and call J.G. Wentworth and never settle for less than more.
Call 1-800-741-3093. That's 1-800-741-3093. Call now.
Wake up and come play.
Make something new.
Play dress up with us.
And get moving, too.
Watch all your friends enjoy the fun right here on NBC Kids.
On our next broadcast, Assemblyman Jim Wheeler will join us. We'll see you then.